Good evening. Please turn with me to Mark, the 5th chapter. We'll be reading there in a little bit. Mark 5. I want to thank the brethren here for giving me the opportunity to speak while Tim is away. I don't get to do it very often anymore, and I like to take advantage of it when I can. But I hope we do study the things that are beneficial to this congregation and to us as individuals. We welcome those who are visiting. We invite you to open up your Bibles and study it along with us. Mark the 5th chapter. I'd like to begin reading verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea and to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he hath been often bound with fetters and chains, the chains have been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? He answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him, much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep hill into the sea, that they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it into the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw, told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when they come into the ship, that they had been possessed with the devil, prayed him they might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. In this reading, we find of an individual that is really unbelievable when you come down to think about it. In this account, it's a demonic being healed by God. He was a living man abiding among the dead, for he was rejected by the living. He was naked, homeless, wounded, uncontrollable, but Jesus was capable of healing him. Now all this happened. But that's not the most unbelievable part about these verses. Check it out. The verse that rendered us almost speechless from amazement is that they began to beseech him to depart from their borders, asking Jesus to leave. They saw the power, the authority that he had, the capability of healing one such as this. But they asked Christ, please, leave. Leave our borders. Right at their very doorstep, they had healing. They had a blessing. They had an opportunity of salvation. But they asked him to leave. Most commentators agreed to the point where they asked him to leave, and that the fact that they were fearful about their hurt more than anything else. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know where they maybe think this way a little bit. But this is the basis I'm going to best determine my lesson upon this evening. If this is true, they placed their hogs above God. And that's the comment we want to make tonight. We want our hogs. Now think about it. Men, putting worldly gain above the value of the blessing of Jesus Christ. When they saw the herd gone, even though they witnessed the healing of the most pitiful man that was out there, they wanted their hogs. 2,000, I believe the scripture says, about 2,000 were choked in the sea. It hurt their economy. And if Jesus did this more often done it again, it probably hurt them a good bit, economy-wise. And you know what? We got men today that will place material wealth of this world over spiritual blessing, which is found in Christ Jesus. And we have men today that believes and make the statements, whether they want to realize it or not, we want our hogs. Here it is, the gospel of Christ presented to them free of charge. The only obligation they have is to hear it and to accept it and become obedient to it. If we listen to the lesson this morning by Brother Held, he mentioned that we're all sinners. We need to become obedient to the will of God. But you know what? These hogs have a lot of legion. There are many of them. It takes place today. There's a hog of dishonesty. There's a hog of popularity. There's a hog of entertainment, pleasure, and worldly lust. The hog of sensual desires and pride. The hog of the big I and the little you. The hog of riches and covetousness. And the hog of opinion of men. But you know what? That hog of opinion of men seems to be the most prolific and had the most pigs, most litter of all. Yeah. You ever try to go out in the country and my grandfather had a farm, and we did for a little while until my sister took sick. My dad had to sell a lot of animals off of it. But we tried to raise hogs. We tried to raise pigs. Ever try to get out there and try to catch one in that pen? You have to take the mother out first, because if you don't, the mother will come after you. She'll chase you. She'll bite you. Try to protect her little ones. But at the same time, try to grab hold of that little piglet. Hard. Slippery. Hard to catch. Sometimes it's fun to see these carnivals or these fairs where they put little kids in with the pen with these little pigs and try to chase them. Gets comical sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes we really take a good hard look at ourselves. Maybe we'll see how comical we can be by chasing these pigs. The squealing of pigs I want to talk about this evening is the opinion of men. James, the second chapter, in verse 24. The opinion of men is, we're saved by faith only. But you know what? James confronts that. Says it takes more than just faith. In James, the second chapter, in verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It's more than just believing in Christ. You've got to do what God asks you to do. As again brought out by Brother Harold this morning in his sermon, we need to apply what God has given to us. It is given for us to hear to accept. But we got to do something to have it. It's just like saying that I can throw out a rope to a man that's drowning out in the river. Unless he grabs it, I can't do anything for him. Especially when I can't swim. The only thing I can do is just toss the rope. He has to take hold. He has to give me the opportunity to help him. He got to do something. He got to grab hold of that rope. But we got individuals that have opinion that faith only saves. Baptism is not essential to the salvation. It's brought out again this morning in Mark the 16th chapter. And verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It takes both. You have to believe, you have to be baptized to receive that salvation. That's how baptism isn't important if you don't believe. Any mode of baptism will do. How many times have we heard that? Turn with me to Romans 6th chapter, verse 4. Therefore, if we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, any baptism will do. Sprinkle, pour, it's all the same. Not according to the Scriptures, we're buried with him to his death. You going to say that if I took somebody that died in my family and go out there and sprinkle a little dirt, you going to tell me he's buried? Baptized. Baptism means to be buried with Christ into a watery grave. Doesn't matter what one believes as long as he is honest and sincere. I've heard that quite a few times. John the 8th chapter and verse 24. I say therefore to you, you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, would it be all right if I took a horse to heaven then? If I took a bicycle? That's what I believe. I'm sincere in it. I don't need Christ. I just hop on a bicycle and ride my way in. There's a lot of them that says there's nothing in the name. Reminds me of a song that Johnny Cash came out. My name is Sue. How do you do? Would you name your son Sue? Would you name your child Fido? Name's important, isn't it? Turn with me to Acts, the 4th chapter. And verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby you must be saved. There is no other name except Christ. Except we do the things that God has set forth. And that continues in the fact that a lot of them believes that one church is good as another. And we can see in Acts the 20th chapter in verse 28, that's not true. 20 and 28. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flocks over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. The church you go to been bought by Christ. Can you prove it? The church that I believe and can find within the New Testament Scriptures has given us everything we need to know. Must abide to everything God has set forth, to what the apostles have taught. If it don't follow after all these teachings, then it's wrong. That church isn't as good as the other, because it hasn't been purchased by God, by Christ. Another comment you hear, an opinion, you don't have to be a member of any church to be saved. Well, let's go back to Acts the 2nd chapter. And read verse 41. Then they that were glad to receive this word were baptized, and to the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And down in verse 47, praising God, having favor with all people, the Lord added to His church daily such as should be saved. Sounds to me that if you want to be saved, you had to be added to the Lord's church. Well, there's good in all churches. Well, that may be true. There are some good individuals out there having been obedient to God's will. But you know what? There's an answer for that too. Jesus said, every plant that my Heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. Turn with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse 13. He answered and said, every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Then in Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 18, and I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's only one church. If you're not in that church, your soul is lost. Well, another opinion is, well, just preach the gospel and leave everybody else alone. Quit condemning others. Quit condemning what they believe. Turn with me to Galatians, the 4th chapter, in verse 16. I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And then I can turn to John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, tells you how Christ came and lived, died for all mankind. Because He loved us. I love you. That's why we try to teach the gospel as it is. Because we want to see your soul saved. We want to give you the opportunity of heaven, such as we are trying to strive for. My dad, as he raised the farm, we had two great big hogs. It's time for a butcher. And you know what? We need to take the opinions of men and just try to tear them apart. We need to butcher them. We need to do away with opinion of men. But you know what? The people in the world are not the only ones in hog business. There's another group that is in hog heaven, if you want to call it that. They plan to keep their hogs. They plan to keep them well slaughtered. No matter what, they don't care. And that's talking about Christians. Turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. We talked about how they were concerned about their earthly wealth. Afraid it's going to destroy their economy. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, its righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall be thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How many of us as Christians put business first over God? We don't put anything to God as we should. We don't put God first. We put everything else first. We put our business. We put the idea of making money, our worldly fun. We turn all this to the business of hog. That's what we want. We want our hogs. We want salvation. But we don't want to let go of that little hog that we have. We don't want to take and put God completely first. And sometimes we worry too much about the things that are going to take place. Yes, a lot of us are losing our jobs. Yes, a lot of us have lost our jobs. Yes, a lot of us are having troubles at times, fighting to make ends meet. But you know what? God said everything that we need will have or will be given to us if we put Him first. How much faith do you have? Where is your faith? Is it in making money? That hall? We're in God. There's a hog of covenantness. Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 5. And there are a lot of Christians that are in this need of covenantness. Colossians 3, in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consequence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. What do you covet? What do you put first? It's idolatry. It's what you worship. Is it pleasure? Is it a certain TV show, as Tim brought out a few times in his lesson? Is it money? Is sometimes our family more important than God? Sometimes we act that way. Idolatry. What do we worship more than God? Hogs of pleasures and entertainment. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, talks about this. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That's nice to relax. Nice to have a little recreation at times. But when we put it first, when we put it before God, we're wrong. Hog of time. I know Tim brought this out quite a few times, but, I mean, and I'm guilty of it at times, but the fact is, we need to understand all time belongs to God. Sometimes we just don't give enough to God as we should. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeem it. Use it properly. Use it when you have the opportunity to have it in your hands. Put it to good use. Watching little bit of Andy Griffith, just flipping through the TV, and Opie was probably about 6-7 years old, I believe, at the time, and Barney Fife, and Andy said, "Well, we're a bad influence on the boy because we're police officers and he sends to arrest people and handcuffed them." And what Opie did was he handcuffed another little boy, the handcuffs, his dad. And they figured that was a bad influence, so they just want to keep him away from the jailhouse. Well, he was trying to find something to do around the house. And Aunt B told him, says, "Well, go out here and plant this spinach." Well, he really didn't want to do that, but that's what he's told to do. So he went out and did it, tried to water it. But he still got bored waiting for them plants to grow up so he could see what fruit he was getting. He went down to the old mine shaft, started playing around, kicking the can around, and almost went into the mine shaft, decided to go on. Found another little boy eating a bunch of apples, and they traded the can. He was kicking around for the apples. He ate the 5 apples he had left. Got a little upset stomach. Fell asleep in the truck. Truck took off and went to another town. He didn't redeem his time right. He bored, started getting in trouble, got himself lost. Aren't we that way? we don't redeem the time as we should properly, and we get lost because we don't follow after the things that God has taught us, because we don't have time to read the Bible as we should. Hog of Talents, Matthew 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30, talks about the man that had 5 talents, the 3 talents, and the 1 talent. The man hid the 1 talent. He was hogging it. I knew he was a just man, so I hid it. I didn't apply myself. I buried him. He's condemned by God because he hid that 1 talent. A lot of us tried to get fame and fortune. In Luke, the 6th chapter, in verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did your fathers to the false prophets. I can speak well of any man. But when a man is out trying to receive glory and not give it to God, he's wrong. How many times have you turned the TV on, especially if you got cable, and you got the higher channels, you got all these religious programs, about 3 or 4 channels in a row, and they're all trying to brag about what good works they do. Sunday, when you turn the TV on, don't you see that? All trying to do that for fame and glory. Rex Humbard and I can't think of the other one, skipped my mind. Jimmy Swaggart and others. Get right down on the list. Oral Roberts. They brag about all the good works. Here's a man that could perform miracles, heal people. He built a hospital. If he had that capability, why didn't he use it? I mean, think about it. But they did what they did for fame, fortune. Just things that they had. PTL Club. When they built a dog house, got air conditioning in it, something wrong. That dog's living better than I am. I need to be in that dog house where it's cool. Something's wrong. Hog of South Purse. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. And a lot of times, we're in this condition. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. If you want to be a Christian, you got to deny thyself. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. You belong to the church, which is His body. But you know what? Back in the 60s, when they started this me, and their kids became grown up, they taught their kids the same thing. It's I. What can I get out of this? Scriptures completely teaches that's wrong. But a lot of Christians sometimes think of themselves first instead of the others. How often have you done something for somebody else without thinking about it? Because it's your nature. You just done it. Never had to think. You just automatically do what you need to do to help that individual. But you know what? A lot of individuals won't do anything for anybody until they consider what is in it for me. Now, if I help somebody, what can they do for me? Christ said, deny thyself. Give yourself up. You follow me. Hog of ignorance of God's Word. 2 Timothy. Again, the 2nd chapter. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How often do we study? Oh, I don't need to know. How often are we prepared to answer somebody's question? And then how honest are we when we say, well, I really don't know the answer, but let me go home and study upon it before I try to give you an answer. I mean, we don't know everything, but that's the problem. We don't study enough to try to know what we need to know. We need to study. We need to work at it. But that hog of ignorance, of God's Word, always there. Oh, God, grace will forgive me. He'll overlook. No, He won't. Because we're commanded to study. And again, in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter and verse 3, we can read about one more hog I'm going to discuss. The hog of indifference, self-complacency. In the 2nd chapter and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by them that heard Him. How long are you going to be before you realize my soul's in jeopardy? I need to do something about it. But you know what? That little hog standing there in the background says, oink, oink, come here. Come after me. Chase me. Catch me. If you can. What do you want? Want your hogs? You want Christ. Now, there's a song. It says, I would rather live in heaven than to own all earth, silver, and gold. I would rather have Jesus, my Savior, than the diamonds of a palace to hold. I'd rather be just a poor beggar, live in a little shack by the road, than there to own all earth's treasures, with no title to the future abode. And then there's another one. And these are the words of this song. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing through billows roll. Take the world, but have me Jesus. Let me view His constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In His cross my trust shall be. Till with clear, brighter visions, face to face, my Lord, I see. O the height and depth of mercy, O the length and breadth of love, O the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless love above. What do you want to do? You want to take hold of the hogs and go after them? Because this is going to destroy what you want? Or you're going to accept Christ. You must hear His word. You must believe that Christ came and lived and died upon that cross. Rose up from an earthly grave. Went back to His Father in heaven. You must repent. Be willing to change your whole life and live for God, not for ourselves. Confess. By mouth confession. That He confess us before His Father. Baptized. By immersion, we ought to have to be buried with Him in the watery grave. Rose as a new creature. Different. Where part repentance comes in. Live a faithful life to death. That's the way we make it to heaven. Maybe one here this evening has done these things, fell short, brought reproach upon themselves, upon the body of Christ. You need to go to God, ask the brother in the and God for forgiveness of your sin. What's your destiny? What do you want? You want the hogs like them people did, chase Jesus away and lost every opportunity of salvation? Or we step to teach Jesus Christ and receive salvation? Think about those things as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.